You take a seed, you plant it, you grow it, you dry it, you roll it, you smoke it, and it goes down smooth. Hey!
Spanning the globe to bring you the latest developments in medical cannabis, adult marijuana, industrial hemp, and spiritual ganja. We love the earth. It's time for the Marijuana Agenda with Russ Belville. Now, here's your host, Russ Belville.
Good day, tokers and tokettes and non-toking lovers of liberty. It is Thursday, May 11th, 2017, and it's got to be 420 somewhere in the world. Got a great show for you today. In the news, Donald Trump has officially named the commissioners for his opioid crisis team. We've got the Voice of the Industry podcast segment for you today. Jacob Pulitzer will be talking about sustainability in the industry. In our activist agenda, two more speeches from the North Texas Marijuana March, including one from an active duty cop slash Christian minister who supports legalization. Then in our Reformers Reader, we'll hear from author Joshua Haupt in his book Three Alight that promises you 3 pounds of harvest for every 1,000 watt light you put up. And in the Radical Rant, we'll talk about how marijuana is safer than child protective services. And in Marijuana Agenda News, make sure you get your subscriptions updated. We are now on iTunes. Look up rad-r.us/MJA/iTunes or find the link on our MJAgenda.com pages. There should be a little link icon right below the words subscribe now at MJAgenda.com. You can also find us there on TuneIn, Stitcher, and Google Play Music as well. We got to take a break, and when we come back, the Cannabis Headline News is next.
You're listening to the Marijuana Agenda with Russ Belville.
Looking for the 420 friendliest way to visit beautiful legal Potland, Oregon?
I'm Lori Duckworth, inviting you to come stay with us at Delta 9 House and Studios.
You get your own private room with queen bed and access to our high-speed Wi-Fi, premium entertainment system, and more.
We'll even cook you breakfast. Look us up on Facebook at Delta 9 House.
That's facebook.com/Delta9House. Delta 9 House is booked through Airbnb and licensed by the City of Portland.
Georgia.
Hi, this is Willie Nelson. Alcohol prohibition didn't work in the 1920s, and marijuana prohibition isn't working today. It's time we stopped arresting responsible marijuana smokers. It's the fair thing to do.
For more information, contact NORML, the National Organization for the Reform of Marijuana Laws. Call toll-free 888-67-NORML or visit their website at norml.org.
The Marijuana Agenda. Like the pharmaceutical agenda, without all the side effects, overdose, deaths, you know, insurance.
Side effects may include nausea, dry mouth, and constipation. Dry mouth, constipation, indigestion, and abdominal pain.
Which can occur without warning and may cause death.
I'm Russ Belville with the Marijuana Agenda. Join me every 2 weeks for the Marijuana Policy Insider with Marijuana Policy Project. Learn more at mjagenda.com/about.
This is your Cannabis Headline News. Brought to you by MarijuanaMoment.net. The complete source for all your marijuana news in one morning newsletter from Marijuana Majority founder Tom Angel. Subscribe today for free at marijuanamoment.net.
This is your Cannabis Headline News for Thursday, May 11th, 2017. I'm Russ Belville. President Trump formally appointed members of his Commission on Combating Drug Addiction and the Opioid Crisis, including New Jersey's Republican Governor Chris Christie as chairman. Christie last week said, quote, crazy liberals want to poison our kids with marijuana, and, quote, marijuana users are 10 times more likely to become heroin addicts, end quote. Other members are former Rhode Island Congressman Patrick Kennedy, a Democrat who is an admitted opioid abuser, who co-founded the anti-marijuana legalization group Project SAM, which compares recent data showing medical marijuana access reduces opiate deaths to past efforts to, quote, treat alcoholism with heroin and heroin addiction with cocaine, end quote. Massachusetts Governor Charlie Baker, a Republican who warned that legal marijuana would, quote, threaten to reverse our progress combating the growing opioid epidemic, end quote, and former Drug Czar's office staffer Bertha Madras, who said in Wyoming last month that, quote, the lessons that we have learned from opioids are directly applicable or generalizable to marijuana, end quote. The New Hampshire State Senate passed a bill Thursday, 17-6, that would decriminalize possession of small amounts of marijuana. House Bill 640 will now head back to the House of Representatives, which overwhelmingly approved the original version in February, 318-36, and is expected to concur with the Senate-approved version soon. At that point, the bill would be sent to Governor Chris Sununu, who is expected to sign it into law. House Bill 640 was originally introduced in the House by Representative Rennie Cushing and a bipartisan group of co-sponsors. The Senate-approved version would reduce the penalty for possession of up to 3/4 of an ounce of marijuana from a criminal misdemeanor, currently punishable by up to 1 year in prison and a fine of up to $2,000, to a civil violation, punishable by a $100 fine for a first or second offense and a $300 fine for a third offense within 3 years of the first offense. A fourth offense within 3 years of the first offense could be charged as a Class B misdemeanor, but there would be no arrest or possibility of jail time. Delaware cannabis advocates won their first legislative victory Wednesday when a House committee voted to advance a bill to legalize recreational marijuana. The House Revenue and Finance Committee voted 9-2 to move the proposed Delaware Marijuana Control Act to a vote by the full State House of Representatives. Representative Helene Keeley, a Democrat from South Wilmington who chairs the committee and sponsored the bill, said she plans for that vote to happen in early June. Despite Wednesday's vote, the bill's prospects of becoming law are still bleak. Supporters need a 2/3 vote in both houses of the General Assembly because the bill contains new criminal penalties. A coalition of powerful associations and lobbying groups is opposing the legalization. A proposed law that would reduce the penalty for possession of small amounts of marijuana in Texas to below that of most traffic tickets could come up for a historic vote by the Texas House on Thursday. House Bill 81, which would make possession of an ounce or less of marijuana a civil, not criminal offense, faces a deadline of midnight Thursday to be given initial consideration on the floor of the full House, or, like most House-originated bills, it's dead. The two main sponsors of the bill voiced skepticism Wednesday that the bill will be taken up by the midnight deadline because of the crowded House schedule. The state last reconsidered its marijuana penalties in 1973 when it lowered the punishment for possession of small amounts from a felony to a misdemeanor, punishable by up to a $2,000 fine and 6 months in jail. The Texas Senate on Thursday unanimously approved a stripped-down version of a bill dubbed the Sandra Bland Act to address mental health issues in the state's jails. Senator John Whitmire, a Democrat of Houston, author of the bill, said the reworked bill was largely aimed at preventing jail tragedies that became exemplified by Bland, who was found hanged in a Waller County jail cell 3 days after a routine traffic stop in 2015 escalated into a confrontation with a state trooper and led to her arrest. The bill was amended on the Senate floor to remove a provision, opposed by law enforcement, that would have prohibited officers from stopping vehicles for a traffic violation as a pretext to investigate other crimes unless there was strong suspicion another offense had been committed. The amended bill also removed a prohibition on searching vehicles based solely on the driver's consent and a ban on arresting motorists for fine-only offenses. This has been your Cannabis Headline News for Thursday, May 11th, 2017. I'm Russ Belville.
You're listening to the Marijuana Agenda with Russ Belville.
At Herbie's Cannabis Seeds, we pride ourselves on bringing you the best quality seeds from the world's most respected cannabis seed producers, all at the lowest online prices. You can find Herbie's Seeds at herbiesheadshop.com. All cannabis seeds are sold as souvenirs and as a means of preserving cannabis genetics. Herbie's Seeds in no way intends to condone, promote, or incite the use of illegal or controlled substances. We strongly urge all prospective customers to check their national laws prior to placing an order. Herbie's Seeds at herbiesheadshop.com. Proud sponsors of the Marijuana Agenda with Russ Belville.
It's time for Cannabis Facts About Alzheimer's from Robert Platschorn's thesilvertour.org. This message is supported by our donors and Hemp Inc., a public company poised to lead America's hemp revolution at hempinc.com. A new Florida study in the journal Molecular and Cellular Neuroscience found that cannabis promotes the growth of healthy new brain tissue. It can slow the effects of Alzheimer's and may in fact be able to halt it entirely. A long-term study by Ohio State University's Professor Gary Wenk concludes that people who regularly use marijuana get Alzheimer's at a much lower rate than others. This was Cannabis Facts from the SilverTour.org, an educational nonprofit supported by our donors and Hemp Inc., a public company poised to lead America's hemp revolution at hempinc.com.
The Marijuana Agenda, Kevin Sabet's boogeyman since 2012.
You have offended my family, and you have offended Shaolin Temple.
Yes, might have gotten away with it too. It wasn't for these blasted kids and their dogs.
I'm Russ Belville from the Marijuana Agenda. Join me every 4 weeks for the Northwest Cannabis Chronicle from the Marijuana Business Association. Learn more at mjagenda.com/about.
The National Cannabis Industry Association is the leader in the emerging world of marijuana business. Today, we feature highlights from NCIA's successful podcast on CannabisRadio.com to bring attention to the issues and entrepreneurs creating the fastest growing industry on earth. Learn more as we take a listen to the voice of the industry.
I'm your host, Bethany Moore. I'm with the National Cannabis Industry Association. Today, we are speaking with a guest, Jacob Poliser. His company is the Cannabis Conservancy, and they're a member of NCIA. Hi, Jacob. Thank you for joining us today on the show.
Hey, Bethany. Glad to be here. Thank you so much for inviting me.
Absolutely. So let's just get started and tell me more about you and your personal and professional background. I know when we met a couple of years ago, you had just come to Denver and you were telling me all the things that you had been doing before coming to where you're at now. So tell me more about all that.
Sure. Yeah. So I'm originally from South Florida, grew up outside of Fort Lauderdale. So for the last 15 years, most of my professional career, I've been in the environmental science, environmental management field. I went to undergrad at Emory, studied, environmental studies, went to Peru to study ethnobotany, South Africa to study wildlife conservation and ecosystem management. Mm-hmm. From there, traveled around the world for quite a bit and kind of picked up different projects here and there as I bounced around abroad and back to the U.S. So different projects I've worked on was for the South Florida Water Management District. I looked at agricultural pollution runoff and how it affected the Everglades ecosystem. I studied permaculture in Israel, worked on farms in Europe, Asia, the Middle East, as well as in the United States and a bit in South America. I got my master's degree through the MESPOM program in the EU, where I studied at Central European University, Lund University, and in Greece. There I really focused on urban agricultural sustainability and environmental justice. And then when I came back around 2010, I formed my first company, Urban Environmental Innovations, where I was a sustainability consultant, mostly for the restaurant and brewery industry.
Oh my gosh, all that international travel. I'm so jealous. You're killing me. Is there anywhere you haven't been? Like, you named just about every part of the world there.
Central Africa is kind of on my list. It's one of the few places I haven't explored yet.
It's the one place on your map that you don't have a pin in yet.
Yeah, exactly.
Awesome. Well, let me know when you get a chance to do that.
Hopefully soon.
So what brought you to the cannabis industry and why did you start your company, the Cannabis Conservancy?
What brought me to the cannabis industry? I mean, I've been, associated with cannabis for the last 20 years. Mm-hmm. It's definitely the industry, I wanted to work in. I'm definitely a bit adverse to working in the corporate world. I love the people. I love the community. And, you know, why did we start the Cannabis Conservancy? It was really, we realized, you know, the environmental impact and toll that the industry was having, you know, in the beginning, and that we had, you know, the team, the knowledge, the expertise to really change how that was going and really, you know, hopefully allow the industry to become a leader in global sustainability, and really, you know, not to avoid the pitfalls of, you know, the agricultural industry, you know, as it is now. And, you know, the plant is near and dear to my heart, and it's definitely the area I wanted to, you know, dedicate my career to.
Yeah, that's great. There's definitely a lot of discussions in the industry on the cultivation side in particular about reducing our carbon footprint, about environmentally sustainable practices. So, again, it's another way that the cannabis industry is trying to create best practices and standards from inside, from within, rather than waiting for external agencies to come tell us how to do what we're doing. We're doing it ourselves from the inside out. So awesome. Thank you for doing this work. Tell me more about it. Let's get a little deeper. What does the Cannabis Conservancy do and hope to achieve? And who else is on your team? What kind of experts and awesome people do you have working on this effort?
Yeah. So with the Cannabis Conservancy, I mean, we are a certification body and I guess also a research entity. You know, we're hoping to become kind of a research, you know, repository and resource for the entire industry. You know, when it comes to sustainability, you know, energy, water and waste, you know, the core of our work is as an eco label. So it's to certify farms with a sustainability certification. So that, you know, the consumer, the patient has a tool, a resource to, you know, validate and understand, you know, what's going into the, you know, cannabis that they're consuming. And also we have a QR code that goes on the product as part of our, you know, certification seal that really also links the, you know, consumer, patient back to the farm to give them, you know, the recognition that they deserve for, you know, creating, cannabis, you know, sustainably with as minimal an impact to the environment as possible.
Wow.
And, you know, who else is on my team? We're kind of scattered around North America. So we have Brittany Anderson, who's their director of operations based in Nelson, British Columbia. We have Aaron Lochney, who's our director of content over in Boston, Massachusetts. Our director of certification and kind of our compliance guru, auditing guru, is Brian Farmer out in upstate New York. And then to round out the team, we have Jonathan Baldwin in Grass Valley, California, who is the founder of Forever Flowering Greenhouses and has been in the industry and the community for, you know, most of his adult life.
Awesome. That's great. So the certification, you said there's a QR code. That's pretty high tech. So the idea is that a consumer will see a product and they'll have an app on their phone that they could scan, and ultimately it will tell them about the practices of the farm from which that cannabis came. Is that right?
Yeah, no, that's exactly right. So all of our certified product has this QR code embedded in our logo, our, you know, certified sustainable or sustainably certified, you know, flower is what we're targeting right now is the cultivation. We're also moving into made with certified cannabis for the more concentrate processor edibles market. And yeah, so that QR code links directly to a page that we host that, you know, essentially illustrates and showcases the farmers. So they have a chance, you know, put up pictures, tell their story, their values, a bit of their sustainability score, because we're very big on, you know, measuring the impacts that the grows have. And as well as we're hoping to tie that into, you know, the test results as well. So really linking, you know, the consumer to the farmer is very big for us.
That's pretty cool. And, you know, there's a lot of trends and leanings toward farm to table in the food and dining industry. So this kind of parallels that in the farm to bowl or soil to bong. I just came up with that. You can keep it.
Thank you.
And it reminds me of that episode of Portlandia where they're at the restaurant and they're choosing from their menu and they want to order the chicken, but they want to know where the chicken came from and was it happy and what was its name? And then they go to the farm and check it out and then they figure out that they want to have dinner or don't want to have dinner. I don't know. Have you seen that show, Portlandia?
Yeah, no, I saw that episode. That's like, you know, kind of exactly where we're at. Like we, you know, the consumer on some level, I mean, we're voting and, you know, picking, you know, choosing our values with our dollars. So, you know, our hope is to give the, you know, consumer, the, you know, community all the information that we have available so that they can make, you know, an informed decision. And that's really like our responsibility to go in and, you know, we have a very rigorous auditing process to make sure, you know, they're trusting us to, you know, represent the values that we're, you know, holding on to.
It really is true and interesting to see. They talk about the millennial generation and people sort of our age and older. Who are more focused on putting their dollars into companies where their values, their triple bottom line, as it were, people, profits, and planet are all being taken into consideration. And that's just a trend of our generation of wanting to spend our dollars where we know we're going to be making a greater good or impact, or at least that company has values that we support. So that's great. This gives the cannabis industry the opportunity to put their dollars where their values are, in a sense, if sustainability is one of their, you know, number one issues, which it tends to be in our generation. We actually care about the environment a bit more than previous generations.
No, 100%. I mean, the triple bottom line is written into our mission statement. And also, you know, why we wanted to do a sustainability certification over just, you know, an organic certification, so to speak, is that it also from a, you know, grower investor side, you know, we're mitigating risks, but also, you know, the crux of sustainability is efficient resource use. So if you're using less resources, you're lowering your overhead. It's cost efficient, you know, as well as, you know, the whole marketing aspect and all of that. I mean, you use less energy, water, you generate less waste, you're going to be able to make, you know, a better, more consistent, high quality product for less.
This episode was produced as part of the Marijuana Agenda with Russ Belville, the daily news and interview podcast covering the world of medical cannabis, adult marijuana, industrial hemp, and spiritual ganja. Subscribe now for free at mjagenda.com.
New beginner guitars and banjos are often constructed much better than ones built before your time. Why struggle? Get a new instrument or fix the old one. Trusted professionals at the Fingerboard Extension will evaluate your instrument for free. Repairs are priced for people who work for a living. Stop by the Fingerboard Extension downtown Corvallis at 120 Northwest 2nd Street today, or check out its inventory on the web at fingerboardextension.com.
This is Cannabis Facts from Robert Platschorn's thesilvertour.org. Supported by our donors and Hemp Inc., poised to lead America's hemp revolution at hempinc.com. In 1937, the second most prescribed medicine, marijuana, was banned. It wasn't about marijuana. The paper, oil, and chemical industries lobbied to end hemp farming. No longer labor-intensive, an acre of hemp produced more quality paper than 4 acres of trees. Plastics and fibers could be produced from a plant. Hemp can even produce 10 times the energy of today's ethanol. As marijuana prohibition ends, many states now allow farmers to again grow hemp. This was Cannabis Facts from thesilvertour.org, an educational nonprofit supported by our donors and Hemp Inc., a public company poised to process America's hemp crop at hempinc.com.
You're listening to the Marijuana Agenda with Russ Belville.
It's like I picked the wrong week to quit smoking.
Learn more at MJAgenda.com.
I'm Russ Belville with the Marijuana Agenda. Join me every 2 weeks for Police for Reform with Law Enforcement Action Partnership. Learn more at mjagenda.com/about.
Activism begins with ACT. The Marijuana Agenda features the stories of hardworking grassroots activists working for an end to prohibition in today's Activist Agenda.
Today on the Activist Agenda, we return to the North Texas Marijuana March, where we hear some great speeches coming from, first, Akilah Parker, a woman activist from the Austin, Texas area, and then police officer and Christian minister, active duty police officer Nick Novello, who spoke on the steps of the Tarrant County Courthouse following the march through the streets of Fort Worth, Texas. We'll start with Akilah Parker back in the park, and then we go to Nick Novello.
We have another outstanding speaker coming out right now. We have Akilah Parker. She's a beautiful lady. She is a, thank you. She's a Texas Normal board member and also a healthcare professional. Today, Akilah is going to talk to you about how you can do your part to courageously end cannabis prohibition.
Thank you, Jess. As she said, thank you. My name is Akilah. It's a beautiful day in DFW. Thank you so much for having me. Are you guys having a good time?
Yeah.
Participating in some civil disobedience? Damn right, do that all day.
Yeah.
Ladies and gentlemen, I came all the way from Austin, Texas to tell you that I've been on the board for the Texas Normal for the last 2 years, but all my life I've been an activist. I care about people, I care about their stories, I care about your experiences, what you've gone through. And in that way, ladies and gentlemen, I encourage you, and I use my voice, to sit down with another patient, to sit down with another healthcare professional, to sit down with a veteran, to sit down with members of my community to say that I use cannabis. I use cannabis in my everyday life. I use cannabis to manage my anxiety. I use cannabis to manage my ADHD, my insomnia, my eating disorders. And I'm not a criminal. The plant grows from the ground. This is my body, my choice, my option. Ladies and gentlemen, I challenge you. I empower you. Use your voice. If you use cannabis, awesome. If you don't, even better. But if you believe in it and you believe it's medicine, it's earth-given, universe-provided, use your voice to tell your local branch of government and your legislative just that. This is a plant. This is medicine. I encourage you to think of maybe a coworker you have that's been complaining about some leg pain, some shoulder pain. You may not smoke some cannabis, but you may know someone that creates a salve or a tincture or something that may benefit them. Maybe you know that cannabis interacts with our endocannabinoid system, so it's beneficial to our bodies. Ladies and gentlemen, I challenge you to educate yourself. I challenge you and I dare you to be an activist, to use your voice. Go down to your local branch of government and tell them, hey, I believe. I've done some research. What do you believe? Respectfully, of course, let's not get all rowdy in a local branch of government's office. Law enforcement's not my friend when they bring bracelets. But ladies and gentlemen, I do dare you. I do challenge you. You pay taxes. You live in this beautiful city. Your voice matters. As Dave just said, next week, next Saturday, we are going to be at the state's capitol. We are going to be marching on those south steps. We are going to remind those legislators that I pay taxes. That beautiful building, you pay for. It's my right to be there. It's my right to tell you that cannabis is medicine, that House Bill 2107 does give patients, veterans, everyone in our community an opportunity to say, my body, my choice. Ladies and gentlemen, I dare you to be a part of a wonderful movement that's happening in Texas right now. Do you guys realize that on Tuesday night, we held a hearing with 5 co-authors originally? By the time the hearing was over the next day, we had 75. That means our legislators know that this is medicine. Our legislators know that we're not going away. Our legislators know that when it happens, we're still going to keep marching on the door. We're still going to keep saying that we deserve to be here. I dare you. Be empowered. Represent your medicine. I'm Akilah. Thanks.
I'm going to pass the mic to the reason I all came to the marijuana march today, to see an active duty police officer.
Hell yeah!
Time we end cannabis prohibition in the state of Texas. Ladies and gentlemen, please welcome
the very brave, the very bold Officer Nick Novello. Yeah! You know, I'm always struck by the degree of conviction here. And what really touches me is for the most part, I see conviction born of affliction. All of those of you who carry the burden and suffered. So for me, it's a privilege to stand here. It really is. I want to tell you about 6 years ago, I don't know how many remember Tim Timmons. He was an activist and he was also a quadriplegic. I had the privilege of meeting him and he was dying. He had a few months to live and he looked at me with a smile on his face and he asked me a question. He said, "Man, am I a criminal because I smoke?" In order to arrest my tremors. And it made me very emotional. I understood then, I had my epiphany. And I do love the Lord, I preach the gospel everywhere. But that means I love people. I do not judge anyone. And I speak for decriminalization. I want you to know something, please, before I leave you, you're tired, you've been here a long time. I have a Facebook account, I'm asking you to follow me because when I think of people talking about my losing my job, I could care less. That pales in comparison to those of you who use cannabis medicinally. I will stand with you because you deserve it. Follow what I'm trying to accomplish because any city today in the state of Texas that says we're going to euphemize how we deal with cannabis, meaning we're going to issue citations and cite release, that's not acceptable. That's still criminalization. That's not acceptable. We need to speak with great specificity to our want that we cease criminalizing and incarcerating our young. Hillary Clinton made a statement. She said it takes a village to raise a child. So the question comes, what happens when we criminalize and incarcerate our children? That's where we are. That has to stop. Please, again, I have a Facebook account, Nick Novello. This is not about me. This is about choices and freedoms and caring and loving people. And I do it all in the name of Christ. My experience with Christ is, he saved me when I had no reason to live. And so I'm privileged to stand here, proclaim his gospel, and to say I stand in unison with you, and thank you for your time.
Folks,
It's quite an amazing occurrence when you're standing on the steps of a county courthouse in Fort Worth, Texas, with an active duty police officer as numerous people are openly smoking marijuana and chanting that police officer's name. It's one of my favorite events ever.
You're listening to The Marijuana Agenda with Russ Belville.
Hey everybody, it's Russ Belville from The Marijuana Agenda, inviting you to be like me and get your ink done at Lucky Horseshoe Tattoo, Fort Worth's most female-friendly, clean, sterile, awesome tattoo shop. Thomas and his crew are true artists who can design you a custom piece or use a design you bring in. Lucky Horseshoe also offers all styles of tattooing as well as piercings and all-around fun. In the DFW area, stop by Lucky Horseshoe Tattoo and tell them Radical Russ sent you. Trust me, it'll feel awesome.
It's time for Cannabis Facts about Teen Drug Use from Robert Platschorn's thesilvertour.org. This message is supported by our donors and Hemp Inc., a public company poised to lead America's hemp revolution at hempinc.com. A recent survey by the U.S. Centers for Disease Control indicates that in states that have legalized medical marijuana, the rate of marijuana consumption among high school students has not increased. In fact, in legal states like Colorado, teen use has actually decreased significantly. It's simply no longer a big deal for teenagers in legal states. This was Cannabis Facts from thesilvertour.org, an educational nonprofit supported by our donors and Hemp Inc., a public company poised to lead America's hemp revolution at hempinc.com.
The Marijuana Agenda, like the conservative agenda, minus the hypocrisy.
I'm Russ Belville from The Marijuana Agenda. Join me every Friday for the Reefer Rock Review with Herb Thrasher from 420radio.org. Learn more at mjagenda.com/about.
The best weapon you can have in the Prohibition War is your mind. Fill your head with the knowledge you need by checking out this latest entry in the Reformer's Reader.
Welcome back, everybody. In the Reformer's Reader today, we're joined by author Joshua Haupt. Joshua, welcome to the show.
Thank you. Thank you. I'm a big fan of your show. I appreciate you guys inviting me on. Very honored.
Very, very happy to have you here. And where are you calling us from today?
I'm calling you from Denver, Colorado.
Oh, lucky you in Denver. Okay, so let's talk a little bit about your book. It's called Three Alight, and it's not just a cannabis grow book, but also kind of your story. So let's give people a little forward to the book, so to speak. Tell people about your background and what brought you to writing this book, Three Alight.
The Reader's Digest version of the background would be, obviously, I was diagnosed with epilepsy around 14, and I definitely struggled with a slew of medications like anybody else that has epilepsy. Was able to gain access to medical cannabis when I was about 18, and we quickly wanted to begin growing it ourselves. Of course, I was like any other user gardener at the gate, that I was just trying to learn as much as I could from bits and pieces here through a High Times magazine article or a piece of Jorge or Cervantes or Ed Rosenthal's information. Those are great go-to sources as well. And the weeds began growing. A few years into it, I met someone who was growing with techniques that were very unique and pulled yields that were far and above ours, as well as the flower quality was far and above anything I'd ever seen before. And so we started growing that way. With these yields, you know, we went from a pound of light to 3 pounds of light, and the flower itself is just, it comes through in the same way. It has to reach essentially the healthiest point of its life to be able to achieve that number anyways. So with that, I started teaching my friends how to do it, so that way they could be better for themselves and, you know, have easier access to more medicine, and most importantly, a higher quality level of medicine. And over the years of teaching others, it kind of just hit me on the head after I set up my probably 15th friend of, hey, you know, you got to write a book on this, because there's really nothing out there that, you know, that runs it from, hey, this is what you do all the way from seed to finished flower. And this is how you achieve, you know, this level of organization in your garden when it comes to kind of more of a structured approach to the garden, if you will. And so we kind of, the book itself lays out A to Z on, you know, how to have a very healthy garden. But we also make it, it's not literature overwhelming read. It's very photo friendly. We try and keep it as simple as possible. It's almost as if Apple or, you know, a very user-friendly company designed a how-to.
Yeah, looking at the book itself, big full bleed pictures, high res color photography, and you've got a system of kind of icons going along with it, so everybody knows exactly where you're at, what you're talking about, what stage of the process you're in. And the title of the book, again, is Three a Light. You can find out more at the website, threealight.com. And that's the words, threealight.com. And that refers to the 3 pounds per light. Is that what you're saying? Or is it 3 plants per light?
It's 3 pounds per light. Most gardens, as you know, if they have 20 lights in there or even 4 lights, you probably pull about a pound to a pound and a half a light. That's going to be your average, if you will. We are going to teach you how to pull 3 pounds of light.
Wow.
And this in your garden.
And this is revolutionary. We're north of 4 now. We see that, like you say, 1 pound, 1.5 pounds per light for most of the people. And now you're saying, you know, doubling or tripling that yield. How did you manage to figure out these techniques that we haven't heard yet from Ed Rosenthal or Jorge Cervantes? And how'd you come to this revolution?
You know, I can only take a certain degree of credit with this. This was taught to me from a mentor, like I said, probably 8 years ago. He showed me the way on how he has done it and how his mentor taught him. So there's over 30 years of growing experience into this method. We've been tweaking it over the years that I've been doing it. And, you know, I've just been blessed. It's all about, you know, your net worth in this world is your network. And I happened to meet the right person that showed me how to, you know, do things on a different level and really opened my eyes in the garden for what's possible. Yeah. And now we're north of, you know, 4 alight with most of our strains. So it's very easy for me to stand behind the 3 alight number when it comes to teaching individuals how to be, you know, a top shelf gardener for themselves, and also keeping it simple. I feel like a lot of people, and you know, a lot of people have the tendency to overcomplicate this, and there's a way to keep it simple. That's what we strive for.
Yeah. So. And especially, you know, when we're dealing with medical marijuana states that either have some sort of canopy limit or some sort of plant count limit, being able to maximize what you're getting out of those lights is crucial.
Absolutely.
Now, let's talk a little bit about
coming from that's what the situation is that developed the book, because we were all medical users that had limited plant counts. And so if you wanted to do well for yourself with limited plant count and have a decent amount of medicine between harvests, you know, quickly wanted to learn the most efficient way to grow.
Sure. Now, as you've been talking about this, you mentioned how you've got some strains now that are approaching 4 pounds per light.
Yes,
is this technique strain dependent? Do some strains do better under this technique than others?
Of course, you're going to have all strains, especially with how many, you know, how far we are away from a true indica or a true sativa.
Sure.
Every strain seems to be a hybrid of another now. The closer you are to the genetic makeup, i.e. the closer true OG you have, a true Kush, it's always going to perform stronger and do better. But we had been able to achieve, we've tested this theory over hundreds of strains. We achieved 3+ a light with all of our strains. The only one I ever got stuck at was Purple Wreck. Mm. I got stuck with Purple Wreck at about 2.5 pounds of light. But other than that, it's not strain specific. You can definitely apply it. It's a one size fits most. for not only the methods that we apply it with, but also the feed regimen that we follow it with, you know, how we do it. And if you don't have a copy yet, I definitely want to get you a copy.
Yes.
And you can take the Pepsi Challenge for yourself. I would love to take advantage of this
for my new my new right in the state of Oregon to grow my four plants at home. That definitely sounds like something we could use. Check it out, folks. It's Three a Light is the book. It's at threealight.com. We're speaking with Joshua Haupt. He's the author and a medical marijuana patient who's been dealing with epilepsy since teenage. And, you know, Joshua, we see a lot of these stories out about these kids, these little kids that are using these CBD oils to get past their epilepsy. You're a bit older than that. Give folks a little idea about what you had to go through before you managed to get to cannabis, what sort of terrible drugs you had to be put on.
Yeah, you know, I mean, to give you just, we can just speak about the results. I started having fuses at 14. I was bald by 19, overweight, you name it. I dealt with it all. And all I wanted to do was put you on this medication, put you on that medication, and really just give you a bunch of medication that, quite frankly, that a developing liver can't handle. And the craziest thing is, the moment I tried CBDs was the only moment, and this wasn't even that long ago, you know, it was the only moment that I immediately felt as if I didn't have epilepsy anymore.
Wow.
It's crazy. When you have epilepsy, and epileptics can relate to this, you almost feel like your brain has the speed wobbles. Like you're on a skateboard, you're going too fast, and it starts to wobble, but you can't bail because you're going to have to outrun it. So you kind of feel like if you have epilepsy, your brain has speed wobbles. Huh. And when you take a CBD oil, oh my goodness, it almost like buckles it in. You're like, oop, all right, okay, I'm good. I can go through my day now. And I'm such an advocate for it only because I'm first and foremost. And then you hear about, you know, my AC guy. He moved out here with his daughter from the East Coast because his daughter, 6 years old, keeps having seizures. She was having over 200 seizures a month. Oh. Okay? It's just terrible, you know, to go through that. She's only had, I think, a handful of seizures in the last year.
Yeah.
From this.
Yeah.
You know, it's just, I get very passionate about it just because it's one of those things that, and then obviously something just happened today on the FDA not approving cannabinoids and just for CBDs, and it just hurts my heart because there's a lot of kids out there that got to go through the same gamut that I went through with their parents getting all hurt, and everybody's got to watch them have seizures when all you got to do is allow interstate trafficking of something that is proven to help these kids.
Yeah.
And there's no THC in there, so it's not getting them messed up. It's just helping their brain work.
Yeah.
That's all it is. Give them another spoke on the wheel that they were missing because they were born that way, and it's not their fault.
Right. And Joshua, you know, as a teenager, you get access to cannabis, and you start to find some success with it. But it sounds to me like you were the victim of a lot of us, that a lot of us are, of prohibition, how it bred CBD out of plants. So those first few plants and strains that you got a hold of, were they good but not great?
Exactly. And, you know, and over the years now, we have an agriculture chemist on the team that we're pushing hard for CBDs. Those are the biggest things that we are concerned about. You know, CBDs are going to be huge, and it allows us to, like I said, give back. And I don't know any other story that, you know, gets closer to your heart than hearing about a kid that's struggling with seizures, and you are able to relieve that on a level that doesn't cause them to lose their hair at 19, them to deal with weight issues earlier in life than they should. You know, I work hard. Now I'm all about a sharp mind, so I'm in the gym every day. That's a huge part of my epilepsy battle. I haven't taken any medication for the last 5 years. It's been great. I've been doing very well other than my CBDs, of course, as well as a healthy, fit, active lifestyle. Try to keep the stress low. I have the daily joint, of course, that helps me with that. And then some good, you know, some good rest. And that's my medication against epilepsy. Because
have you been using the Three Alight techniques on any CBD dominant strains and gotten results from those?
Absolutely. Oh yes, absolutely. Yes, we're definitely working. A lot of people think that it's just Charlotte's Web that comes through, and we're doing a lot of internal research on our end, trying to even push harder for new ones. We have quite a few plans in the work to even further that road.
That's awesome. The book is called Three a Light. It's the story of Joshua Haupt, who's overcome epilepsy and come up with a revolutionary new growing technique that could double or triple your yield of medical cannabis. So check this out at threealight.com. And Joshua, you got any events that you're going to be at or any contact information you'd like to tell our listeners about?
If anybody has any questions about the book, always reach out to info@threealight. We've sold now a few hundred books. And it seems like every one out of every 60 books I sell, there's always someone that comes at me and tells me I made my book too simple, and they, you know, they know more than me, and I'm the idiot. And it's always kind of funny and interesting, but you know, we encourage them to reach out to us. Out of all the books we sold, I've had three people that have done this, and now these three individuals are close friends of mine, and I've spoke with them personally. So it's one of those things where we kind of take you on as a partner, and we want to help you do well. If you want to spend the $500 on the book, because it's not cheap, we all know that. And, you know, when we're giving away some intellectual property here that allows you to, you know, as you can see, your return on investment comes very quickly.
Yes.
Even with one light on one harvest, let alone multiple lights, multiple harvests.
This episode was produced as part of the Marijuana Agenda with Russ Belville, the daily news and interview podcast covering the world of medical cannabis, adult marijuana, industrial hemp, and spiritual ganja. Subscribe now for free at mjagenda.com.
The Marijuana Agenda with Russ Belville is proudly sponsored by the Marijuana Business Association. The MJBA, called by NBC News the Cannabis Chamber of Commerce, is the fastest growing business association and the fastest growing industry in America. I've been working with the MJBA for years, and I personally invite you to join the MJBA. MJBA also publishes the popular MJ Headline News on Facebook and the MJNewsNetwork.com and Marijuana Channel 1 on YouTube. Visit MJBA.net for more details.
Hey, this is Willie Nelson for Norman, and I smoke pot and I like it a lot. I learned a long time ago that marijuana is a lot safer than alcohol. There's nothing wrong with the responsible use of marijuana by adults. It's time we stopped arresting and started respecting those who smoke marijuana responsibly. To learn what you can do to help, contact Normal at NORML.org or call toll-free 888-67-NORMAL.
You're listening to the Marijuana Agenda with Russ Belville.
I'm Russ Belville from the Marijuana Agenda. Join me every 4 weeks for Shark Sessions from the Marijuana Show. Learn more at mjagenda.com/about.
Total war against public enemy number one.
10 federal criminal penalties for up to 1 ounce of marijuana.
Marijuana is probably the most dangerous drug.
Legalization is just another word for surrender.
I experimented with marijuana and didn't inhale.
This is not medicine. This is a Cheech and Chong show.
Encourage people to use less drugs.
I am ill.
That was the point.
I think we'd be a mistake to leave the state.
Negative reports coming out of Colorado.
Don't smoke marijuana.
As marijuana re-legalization unfolds across North America, some public health experts are concerned about pregnant and nursing mothers consuming cannabis. The U.S. government, through the National Institute on Drug Abuse, warns that moms who smoke pot may lead to kids with, quote, hyperactivity disorders, premature birth, abnormal patterns of social interactions, learning deficits, increased trembling, gaps in problem-solving skills and memory, decreased motor development, and an increased likelihood of a person using marijuana as a young adult. On the other hand, the same NIDA warnings come with the caveats of, quote, no human research, evidence is mixed, very little is known, and an admission that, quote, more research is needed, however, to disentangle marijuana-specific effects from those of other environmental factors that could be associated with a mother's marijuana use, such as an impoverished home environment or the mother's use of other drugs. So, what's the truth? What, if any, are the risks of pregnant and nursing mothers using cannabis? Trying to apply the scientific method to answer this question is difficult. Ethically, we can't assign one group of pregnant and nursing moms to a regimen of pot smoking, assign another group to a placebo, and do the kind of double-blind testing we need to find a definitive answer. We must rely on animal studies, which may not translate to humans, self-reporting by moms, who might lie about their illegal activities, and moms busted for pot use by their medical tests, which oversamples the poor and minorities. But we do know quite well the risks of pregnant and nursing mothers getting caught using cannabis. I know personally the medical marijuana mothers who've been popped for parenting under prohibition. Women like Lindsay Reinhart, Sarah Frank, Erica Marie Tucker, and so many more. Their ordeals have led to lengthy court battles, risking their own health by foregoing their medicine, and sometimes exile from their home states, all to recover their children after the government has shuffled them off to a foster home to protect them from their pot-smoking moms. Sometimes, as in the case of the murdered 2-year-old Alexandra Hill, those moms never get their child back from foster care. I've always believed that if maternal marijuana use had any serious effect on the development of the child, we'd have seen the results within heavy pot-smoking populations by now. That's what researcher Dr. Melanie Dreyer thought in the 1970s when she studied rural Jamaican mothers who smoked ganja. In a 5-year follow-up, she found that, quote, no significant differences existed, end quote, between the children exposed to marijuana and those who weren't, except that the ganja babies at 30 days had better scores on autonomic stability and reflexes. I have not seen anyone cite any data to show that Jamaican kids, Rastafarian kids, hippie kids, or even Tommy Chong's, Willie Nelson's, and Bob Marley's combined 24 kids are functioning any worse than non-toker's kids. But there are other studies critics will cite to oppose Dreyer's work, which was never fully completed because her funding was pulled after she published her first results. We do have data, however, to show that kids have far worse outcomes when they're shuffled needlessly through the foster care system. We know they end up using more mental health services. They are more likely to be arrested. They have a greater likelihood of future incarceration. They are more likely to be unemployed. And they have more unintended pregnancies. Back in 2007, a pioneering study found that kids had better outcomes in life staying with their troubled families than if they were separated from them by foster care. And that's including all but the most extreme cases of abuse and neglect, not to mention just looking at parents whose only abuse and neglect, quote unquote, is their use or cultivation of cannabis. Furthermore, the unintended consequences of ripping apart families over maternal marijuana use are also more harmful than the marijuana use might be. Women will avoid prenatal care. They'll switch from marijuana to more harmful substances like spice or K2 that are less easily detected, or they'll even shun giving birth in a hospital altogether for fear of arrest. And consider that for many of these moms, marijuana is their safest medical option. The drugs that pharmacists dole out to control Lindsay's multiple sclerosis, Sarah's chronic pain, Erica Marie's seizures, and so many mothers' morning sickness are contraindicated for use during pregnancy and lactation. The scientific jury may still be out on the exact effects of maternal cannabis use on infants. As with all controversies, some common sense, moderation, and consideration of context are in order here. Nobody is suggesting that pregnant and nursing mothers should engage in marathon bong rip sessions before every meal, But if her other options are to take more harmful medicines or endure debilitating conditions without them, avoid and lie to her doctor, or risk arrest and loss of her child, or switch to alcohol or other drugs that won't be detected, the matter is settled. Marijuana is safer than other drugs, and certainly safer than foster care. Until next time, take care of each other, tokers.
Follow MJ Agenda on Facebook, Pinterest, Instagram, YouTube, and SoundCloud. And follow MJ Agenda Show on Twitter. Learn more at MJAgenda.com.
You think you're free, you plant it, you grow it, you dry it, you roll it, you smoke it. You take a seat, you plant it, you grow it, you dry it, you roll it.